Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is an International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. I hope that you're doing well on this August 30th, getting ready to close out August, the month of the summit, annual event. Hope all is well. Let me see if I can dial in our host, hostess with the mostest, and check in with her. Stand by. So let me dial her up and see where she is. There you go. What's happening out there in Radio Land? I hope all is well. And what we'll do is we will do the summit declaration. So, wait a minute. I think I got my host, my co-host right here. Henrietta Bird? Is this the incredible Henrietta Bird? I hear somebody up in there. Henrietta? So, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Let's talk a little bit about the purpose. Oh, sorry. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. One of the things I wanted to speak to is the purpose. And we've got several purposes here. Because we've got an adult, we've got a youth, and then we've got a young adult. So the purpose of the International Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So it's just a little conversation. So we are big on vision, big on personal vision, vision for the black community and yourself as well. We think it's an important aspect of the work and the conversation. The Youth Summit purpose is we exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We're young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth, transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. And then the young adult purpose is to provide an opportunity for participants ages 18 to 35, a space for reflection, communication, mentorship, and growth through vision creation and implementation. This conversation empowers young adults to powerfully transition to adulthood equipped for global success. So those are some of the conversations that we engage in the summit. We are looking for, we're not looking for anything. We're looking to engage in a conversation of empowerment, empowering our youth, empowering who we are, empowering the possibility that life offers us as human beings and as the people of African descent. Anyway, Henrietta Bird, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are
I have
you?
I am wonderful, my dear. How are things going in Chi-Town? Hello? Ah, we lost her. She'll call back in. We, from time to time, experience technical difficulties, and that's all fine and good, and we will get our co-host back momentarily. So, International Black Summit. We had a day of station and opportunity, and it was miraculous. And what I want to say more about that. I don't know. It was just a good conversation.
Henrietta Bird. Please call back. Thank you again for calling.
So it was an intimate conversation. It was a conversation that left us empowered. I don't know.
Thank you for calling. This is Henrietta Bird. Please.
All right. Her phone is doing some hiccups, so we'll catch up with her a little later. So, basically, the conversation was pretty lively. The discussion was about rage and anger. As we explored that for ourselves, we looked at what was that as a reality. And really, say about it. Let me say for myself that it was somewhat daunting to realize that that I had suppressed my anger for so many years, and to see it unfolded, to see how much I had suppressed myself was really kind of troubling to me. And I guess that's the best thing for me to say is that it was scary. Pent up and allowed to come out even constructively. And so it really was quite interesting for me to notice that and to see that and to be present to that I was, that I had suppressed myself, my anger and rage, except for a few times. But pretty much from the third grade on, I was in suppress mode. Don't let that aspect of Glenn out. That's not cool. You don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that. And so, so it was good to see that. It was good to notice that. It was good to be present to it. And as I've learned in the summit, there's nothing for me to do right away. But what there is for me to do is to begin to notice when I've got that anger feeling being brought up, when it's about to bubble up, when I'm about to go there. We had a very, very interesting discussion. Perry, one of the senior facilitators, one of the original facilitators, I should say, of the summit conversation, brought up he'd been working with Vipassana, an instructor from Vipassana, which is a meditation discipline. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but they have these silent retreats, and you basically are there for days at a time without speaking. And so what you do is, you don't speak for that whole time. And so you get to think and reflect and be with yourself powerfully. So anyway, so this particular instructor was working with a prison population, and this particular prison population was felonies that had committed violent crimes. So they had produced these violent crimes, and there's 25 of them. And so one of the first questions he asked them was, what are they in for? And so one of the conversations about that was that, what was the total number of years that you had received for your violent crime? Now, these convicts were not premeditated. So all of the things that they did were, in a fit of rage, in a fit of anger. And the total amount of years was 491 years for 25 people. So you can imagine that's quite a few years for most of them. Some of them sounded like it might have been lifers. The second question, which was quite interesting, was, well, between the time of your rage and you committing the act that put you in prison, what was the time frame? So remember, there are 25 people in this conversation. And the total time of all 25 people, so it's not an average, but the total amount of time for each incident, for each of the 25 incidents, the total amount of time that it took between getting angry and committing the crime added up to 4 minutes. So we're talking about seconds here, 30 seconds there, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. So for 25 people, it was a total of 4 minutes. For 4 minutes of anger and rage, this is what occurred, 491 years. So, you really get the sense of what it cost us, what it cost them. And then we begin to look at what it costs us. So I looked at what it cost me to be suppressed since the third grade, and how I have been living my life. So I think our co-host is back on, so she may want to jump into this conversation. Your mic is open, 773-491. Go ahead, you're live on the air. Is that Henrietta Bird?
Hi, Julian.
Is that you? Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I was just talking a little bit about my summit and some of the things that I got out of it around the question for the year, which I haven't brought up yet. So let me preface that in this moment, because that's a powerful piece. So every year we work on an inquiry or a question, and we look at that for the entire year. And so inside of this conversation of anger and rage, fear, because that's also part of the mix. And so that was the kind of the flavor of the summit, was this anger and rage and fear. And so the question for the year is, as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? So that conversation has me look at, redirecting my anger and my fear such that I get to direct it towards my commitment. And so one of the things that came up in the conversation is that there are outlets like sports. Like one of the guys chose his outlet was football. And so football was how he was able to redirect his anger and frustration on the football court. So that was some of the things that he was able to do. So Henrietta, what do you want to talk about in terms of your experience of the summit and what was going on?
Well, it's interesting because the person who introduced the rage conversation was actually was not from the Ferguson area. Let me just say that. Was not from the Ferguson area. And when they introduced it, it was introduced from a standpoint of something that occurred 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, even more than that, I think. And so when I, just in this moment, I was thinking about how that rage that was described came about by just life, life occurring. And, we have this distinction in the summit, tracking. And as the individual started to track where the rage came from, they were able to actually notice when it first occurred and how year after year after year it just snowballed. So you think about an individual that has over 40 years of rage that's gone, what was it called, undistinguished as such. Just people looking at this individual as a person who's always on it or always complaining about something, or is what's the term we use, a conspiracy theorist, right? And all the time, the individual is filled with rage based on something that occurred as a child. And you think about that, or I think about that, when it comes to a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of things that are, you know, a person can say something one way and it's taken another way, and it's because we have not identified rage within ourselves. We look at rage being inside of someone else who's out of control, but we don't notice how out of control we are in the ways that we are out of control. And as we track this, that particular day, the individual was able to see why there are certain things had occurred in their lives, all because of this rage and all because of the fear. And sometimes the fear comes before the rage. Sometimes it comes afterwards. You know, you notice that you're filled with rage and you become afraid of yourself. Sometimes anger leads to rage. Sometimes if the anger is not noticed and worked through, it turns into rage. And it's uncontrollable, it appears to be uncontrollable. So the topics that we covered this year in the 2016 annual summit event, I thought was so apropos when it comes to what's going on in the world, what's going on in the universe, you know, and how our consciousness just shifts everything at the weather one day. And you know how you have the weather on your phone? And so there are five places that I frequent, right? And I'm in Chicago, so I'm always checking Chicago, right? And I'm always looking to see what's going on in New York. Looking at Kentucky, have relatives in Kentucky. Looking at Atlanta, a lot of friends in Atlanta. Then I'm looking at Florida. And this one particular day, the temperature was exactly the same in all of those places. Now, how does that occur? That's almost against something for the temperature to be the exact same no matter how far you are from the equator. The equator, how close you are to the equator, is supposed to make a difference in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So our consciousness is causing these things to occur that are what we say are unnatural, you know. Like, that's not a natural thing for that to occur.
Right.
So when I look at the conversations of the annual summit event this year, I could actually see a lot of how we are, how we are molding and shaping this universe. So if we can mold and shape the universe with our anger and our rage and our fear, let's mold and shape our universe without it, like dealing with it. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is available
if I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and anger, or anger and fear? What's available?
Yeah, that's powerful, because I got to say that I've been a victim to it. So now I actually have the possibility of having some power around it and being able to guide it and instruct it and direct it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it really is an opportunity to redirect it in a positive way, in a way
mm-hmm.
that would make a difference for me and the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I think is the beauty of this inquiry this year. It really has us take a look at ourselves, you know. Even though when you hear the question, when I hear the question, sometimes it's like, what is available for the transformation of the universe? And I probably would stick a word in there, what is available for the transformation of my universe, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that I'm more conscious of the one that I live in, even though there's only one, but that it brings it closer in. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm just kind of basking in it. Because this notion of this insight of not being a victim of it really now, as you said, has me begin to look at how I want to direct it and use it, and you know, use that passion, use that power, use that rage to focus in on getting some things done that are going to impact it, that are going to make a difference. You know, using that rage as energy to move stuff forward rather than destroy something. So I'm now engaged in a string of, you know, possible actions and activities that I can present myself inside of.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what Ferguson was about. You know, Ferguson offered that to the conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know, they offered us they offered it in a way that it came through, like, what's the word, revolution, you know, like, I remember Brother Bob, yeah, and then the peaceful protest and
hold on a second.
Hello?
Brother man, welcome to the show.
You just ended the show? Oh, you own the show.
No,
okay.
You're in the show, my brother.
I'm in the show right now.
right now.
Oh, I see. You brought me into the show.
I brought you into the show, my brother. So we're talking about the Ferguson Summit and what was that like, and we talked a little bit about the whole conversation of anger and rage and fear, and talked about possibility of redirecting it. One of the things that I discovered for myself, and I didn't even get it till a couple moments ago, was that I no longer have to be a victim to my anger and fear. I actually can, and my rage, and I can actually now begin to not allow it to victimize me, to be a victim of it, but I can actually now begin to design an avenue to use that energy to direct it in a way that suits what I'm up to, suits my commitments. So that was a real breakthrough insight for me around this conversation of Ferguson.
Well, you know what? That was, you know, I should say this. One, I did get out of that summit, if nothing else, the sharing was so good and rich about rage and what was going on for different people. And I think that the thing that I remember the most was to hear two older men really talk about their different experiences in life, and you know, to see one person, you know, to see how with his life, it's almost like, it was funny because when we said this to him, he didn't really get it. Did they write books about people like that? You know, but his fear didn't stop him from doing things, you know. And I thought that was like a thing. And like every time he, you know, he had to deal with it, he just fought through it, you know. And I think sometimes with me, you know, between my fear and my rage, I just had to kind of deal with, sometimes I would get so angry, I would just kind of shut down, or I get angry and try to get something accomplished. And I think that's the thing that's coming up for me even now. I'm angry about a couple of things, and I've kind of shut down a little bit. So it's just, you know, I'm glad we're bringing the conversation back up, because then I need to just work through those different things. So one, just a great thing to hear people share their different things that happen in their lives, and then for me to just continuously stay in the conversation of what I have to work through for myself, you know. So mm-hmm. And like I said, that was for me like one of the best summits I had ever been to. I think because, you know, by being the audio visual person, had to make sure every person came up and hear what they had to say, and sometimes that really works because attention, but now I had to pay attention and really be engrossed in the conversation. I, of course, trying to find music to play, and all of us had partnership inside of, you know, one person bring me some music, other person bring me some music, being in the group, and really I enjoyed my group. I think at one point we had 7 people come in that group, and that really worked out too, you know. Because, you know, we have people come in at different times and people leave at different times. And that was pretty good. I don't think I got a chance to get the second picture that I wanted of my group, but at least the first picture was good. And just to have everybody just share what was going on for them. And, you know, and that group dynamic really works. I think it's a good thing to really get, you know, what people have in a different, you know, in their lives. So it was a very good experience. You know, I think the thing that also, you know, just being with each other after the summit also was fun, too, as far as each night, you know, what's going on, getting together for the summit, and we had to get through to make everything work. So it was I just really got a lot out of being in that particular summit. And it was good in the sense that it was a small summit, and inside the small summit, you know, the room worked, you know, having the community center, having worked where we did it, and even having, I think, it was good to have even the catering part of it kind of work, because you can really just stay there with your group and just have it work and just keep working inside of the breaks. So it was just a very good workable summit. So I just feel like it was a very good experience in that place.
You know, one of the things that that comes to mind for me around the summit is the just all of the emotion around rage, about rage in our community, around the shootings of the black men by the police force, and I also want to say the black on black crime. You know, I've been watching the local news in the morning the last week or two, and it's like, oh, I see why I stopped watching this stuff, because it was just one thing after the next after the next after the next, and this shooting and that shooting and this innocent bystander and that innocent bystander, and it's just, you know, there's a level of rage that is occurring in our community that I don't know that has been this heightened probably since the civil rights movement in the 60s. And you know, not that we have the answer, but I think that we have something to at least ease some of that tension and thwart that tension towards some commitments rather than just acting out violently towards each other as a possibility. And so I am hopeful, even though my English teacher in college told me that that was a useless word, hope and hope and hopefulness, you know, her comment was, what is hope? You know, but I think the conversation for me is for us to be present to our fear, our anger, our rage, and to be able to consciously redirect it. And I'm not saying that I know how to do that for myself yet. What I can say is that I'm beginning to notice it. I'm beginning to notice what's happening, and that's one of our distinctions, is to be able to notice when it's occurring. It's been suppressed for so long that it's almost like pulling the lid out of it and allowing it to bubble up to the top and being okay with it bubbling up to the top and or over, knowing that the objective is not to lose control, but actually to direct it in a positive manner. So I'm encouraged by that and look forward to the work that we'll do throughout the year around that conversation. Henrietta?
Yes.
Can
you hear me? Glenn?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah,
I said back to you. Back to you. I'm passing the baton to you, my dear.
I thought like Rod, and welcome to the show, Rod. It's good to hear from you. I like you said, Rod, I thought this was one of the best summits ever for me. Because I got real clear about who I am and who I've been being, you know. And that victim conversation is so interesting, Glenn, that you talk about. And it's like an unconscious victim, an unconscious victim of Andrea and I were talking earlier, and she mentioned people being spoiled. And, you know, you don't really think of people, I don't think of people being spoiled as adults, you know, just spoiled to the point that they do things. But, you know, spoiled is a form of being a victim. You know, it's like that's another way of not doing a particular thing, you know, like whatever that thing might be, simply because you're not used to doing it, or you're used to someone else doing it for you, you know. And when we talk about anger and rage, it was very interesting how it showed itself over the weekend in the summit. As angry, we could be angry 1 minute, and then the next minute we were sad. When the people from the area talked about what they'd gone through when Michael Brown was murdered, you know, when they shared about it, it really had me, humble myself, you know, and really take a look at some of the things that I, you know, like I complain about. But I've never had to watch a friend of mine lay on the ground for 4.5 hours after being murdered. You know, I've not had that experience. I've had others that, you know, that might have, the same magnificence, you know, when I think about it. But that puts it in perspective when the people were saying how the children were getting off the bus, and when they got off the bus, that's what they saw. The school bus, that's what they saw. And how that had to be explained, how the parents had to explain that to their children. Why was Mike laying on the ground like that? Why, you know, like, and that there had been no treatment or therapy or, you know, not any avenue, according to some of the people, for them to speak about it, like how they helped and how that shifted their lives. I just really want to acknowledge the people on Canfield, which is the street, because they have organized themselves in very peaceful ways, and they've organized their neighborhood. They have groups of people that watch out for the children. They watch out for the police. You know, they watch out for the teddy bears. You know, they've organized in such a way. And so they've taken a really horrendous situation and gotten a gift from it, you know, how to be with one another. So they, you know, they are the summit in action even before we arrived. So it was just a great experience from my view. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah. That whole that whole conversation being being in the space, it's still a raw emotional thing for me. And it always will be, I think. To be there, to be in that energy, to have the International Black Summit be in that space and to speak the declaration and to be led by two of the Ferguson people that were in our course, one doing the documentary and one just his truth. Just a very powerful emotional time for me, you know, I guess it was likened to be on the march across the bridge, you know, with Martin Luther King, or you know, felt like that kind of emotion and that kind of historical event. You know, yeah. It just, you know, it just filled you with emotion. I felt the anger, the frustration, the fear, you know, like I said, the pure emotion of it was just at times overwhelming. Just all I could do was just be quiet and notice where I was and what was going on. Sombering.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, if we had met his mother, I don't know that I would have been, that might have been too much.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It might have been
too
much. I just, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Henrietta.
Yeah. So, as we, you know, as there was a lot about Michael Brown, you know, that was mentioned over the weekend and that, you know, and the experience, there was also a lot mentioned about our everyday anger and rage, just about our lives, you know. It wasn't all about Michael Brown. It was about the individuals, the participants, and what one has to go through. Just every day, you know, one of the facilitators shared about life, you know, went to the microphone and just shared what life was like. Just every day, going through the everyday rigmarole, I'll call it, and the upset sometimes that we go through just in our everyday doings or beings.
Yeah, that's true, because before we went to Michael Brown's, we were definitely inside of our experiences of rage and anger and fear. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Rod, anything that you want to share in this moment?
Yeah, I think that was really good. I like how the community took over. But, Glenn, I guess I was the total opposite. I think if Ms. Brown had been there, it would have been a whole nother experience for me because, you know, the only reason it's funny because I think about the main reason I even went to the summit is because of the things that was going on in the community. You know, we had just had the march in Atlanta, on police brutality, the different things that was going on, and you know, I don't get a chance to experience that, and to actually meet somebody like his mother, or to have met a Medgar Evers, or to meet someone who actually really deals with it. Because for me, you know, I never get a chance. I don't get, like, even tonight, and even as we speak tonight, they're actually having a march downtown about police brutality, I think, in Atlanta tonight. There's something going on downtown because someone sent me a text saying they were going to send them sandwiches to help them with the march. So to actually have been there and to hear her different experiences, you know, was the main reason I went. You know, I was glad that we went to the site, but to actually see her and experience her would have just, you know, really put in perspective what our family used to go through. And I think, I don't know if we talked about this before, and I'll mention it again, that, you know, my mother, you know, I think I did say this before, how my mother just, she just insisted on us living in white communities, and she just scared the living shit out of me. And to just, to go through, you know, I was like, I ain't moving in over there with them people. And we did, and of course, when we moved there, they moved out as fast as they could, you know. But then, and like I said again before, she, as soon as they moved out, they, she sent us back to the white community, you know. So it's like you had to be in the face of it all the time. But to be in the, but to be in the face of your son getting killed because he's black, and to just to hear her testimony live and in color, that was the reason I went, you know. But I still got the chance to really be in the community the way we did, and that made my weekend too. So, I don't know. It was I was so glad that we went down there to the burial site. You know, I was just so glad that we did that. Yeah. Not the burial site, but to his memorial area. I was. That really made my. That in itself also really put in perspective of what the summit is about, what the, you know, what we are as a community. And that was the main reason that I actually did the summit the first time. So it was like a just like a full circle, because knowing that I went to lived in a black and white county, but every time we would try to be interactive or interracial, the people would run from us. And so I felt as if, or I run to them, more or less run to that community. So to actually be in the presence of people who are really out there fighting the real struggle, or to say that the summit really stood for what it is to be black and all those different experiences, that was like, it felt as if, like I said, it was a deja vu of, this is why I came 20 something years ago, and this is why I'm here now, you know. And then now to, you know, to next year, to really plan on going overseas for the first time or second time, and really going to that, you know, to you know, your homeland, Glenn. That's gonna be a humbling experience too, you know. And I really be prepared for that. And you know, and then who knows? I didn't make it to Africa this year, but maybe I'll make it to Africa again next year. You know, because I want to see, as my friends, but I want to see my peoples and actually be in those communities. So, no, man, it was just a great experience overall. I'm complete.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah, it's we're in interesting times, and this phenomenon of policing. We've got the how is Chicago dealing with the shooting of Dwayne Wade's cousin, Henrietta? Is there a lot of pushback behind that? Has that caused any additional situations?
Say it again, Glenn.
Henrietta Burns. I was just asking
Henrietta,
about
you there?
Dwayne,
Mark Twain's niece
cousin,
getting killed.
Cousin,
yeah. Cousin getting killed,
got,
right.
Got shot. And, of course, it's been politicized quite a bit, but I'm wondering the impact of the celebrity-ism on the shooting, you know, and what how is Chicago reacting to that? Henrietta? Or are they reacting to that? Or is it just another shooting?
As far as I know, and I don't, you know, I'm not a news watcher. It's another shooting, okay? It will bring some, it will bring something different because Isaiah Thomas was here the other day. And he's asking the celebrities to get involved. But the big news on television today that I just happened to see was a report came out about the shooting. You remember how the state's attorney was criticized for holding this evidence for almost a year before it was released? I don't know if you heard about that. Well, a report came out today, and after this report came out today, the chief of police asked for 5 policemen to be fired. Well, the one that shot the guy 6 times and the 4 other policemen that watched him do it, and they lied on their police reports. And so that was the big thing on the news today. And you'll probably see it, you know, on the evening news tonight that they, you know, he's asked for that they be fired. And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, you know.
Well, let me say this, Glenn, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, so I want to speak to what you said earlier, because Henrietta doesn't watch the news, and I do. So one thing that happened, Dwayne Wade had just actually come down there the day before. He had just made a statement about police brutality in Chicago, and his niece got killed the next day. So they did have a response to that. Did you know that? They were talking about that he had just been there today. It was a crazy irony that he had just spoke about that what he wanted to do in the community, and then his niece got killed the next day. So it was a big thing that was on the news both days. Tom, what'd you say?
I did not know about that.
Yeah. He had just come down, and then also he was going to make a – they were saying when he comes home for the Chicago game, that was supposed to be a big deal also. So it was a lot around that, and it was on national news. So it was just interesting of how it was kind of interesting. And then, of course, they interviewed his mother, you know, because the thing they were just saying, it just has to stop. So Chicago did react to it. Now, what Chicago did as a whole, but at least we knew that his mother, she made a statement, and then he had made a statement the day before because it was going to be a big deal about them coming. So it was a lot of – it actually is some stuff going on in Chicago about what really happened with that. And I didn't get a chance to see the news today, but at least I saw it right after it happened. So I just wanted to – I wanted to respond to that.
Thank you very much because you do watch the news, you know. So thank you. Like, thank you for offering that. This has been a real, real interesting conversation. I say that what took place in Ferguson, which is our inquiry, is as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? And I say it's already happening. You know, it's the shifts are showing themselves. They're very small, but they are shifts. You know, people are, things are different. Things are different than they were before the summit in my world. And one of the things that's available is clearing myself so that I can be present and I can hear and see what life is saying to me. So you heard Rod mention next year that we are going to Guyana, South America, and we invite everybody to start planning for yourselves to go. The airline tickets right now are around $500 or $600. You know, the summit is about $250. So start planning to come to the summit. You know, we're working on a package so that it will be all inclusive. Airfare won't be included unless we can work that out, because, you know, everything is possible. But so that your food and everything is included, we're looking to work on a package that way. But start planning for the summit next year. As we take this year and engage in this question, you know that Guyana has something to offer us, as did Ferguson. So, Rod, thank you for joining us tonight. Glenn, thank you for tuning in, everybody. Do you have any last-minute closing remarks, Rod, that you would like to say? And then Glenn?
Well, I just think that was really good. You know, that black-on-black crime is just a big deal. Oh, I know what it was. It was a Black Lives Matter. That's the march that they're having downtown today. So it just hit me now. It's Black Lives Matter, and I think that's really great. Yeah, that's what they're doing in downtown Atlanta today. It hit me after I thought about it. And I guess that's the thing that we just have to keep remembering, that, you know, I think I even saw this on Facebook yesterday, something that Orson Welles did in 1919 about the brutality of blacks and slavery in 1919, and it hadn't changed today. You know, that was like, well, that was so eerie to see that.
Yeah.
And we're still going through stuff that's still like 80 years, 100 years later, still the same. And that's crazy. So it's just that, you know.
Well, you got to remember the Willie Lynch letter, and that was 300 years of control, which I believe just ended 2012 or 2013.
Wow. Yeah.
You know.
And to even think that, you know, Henrietta, Glenn and I and a good friend of mine was on the phone yesterday, and to think that we were talking about that they're going to have Barack go down as the worst president in history, and that's just pure prejudice. You know, they keep saying that because Republicans came in office saying that we're, and I'm not necessarily saying this, when it was Republicans said we're not going to make sure anything that he gets passed, like with no partnership, and you know, and I hate to say it, you know, I think it was totally about the color of his skin as opposed to him being a Democrat. Well, you know, sometimes you think it's because of political parties. You know, I beg to differ. I think at this time it might have really been about the color of his skin. You know, that you're just going to make sure that nothing he does works. And then you have the nerve to say that he's the worst president when you made a point not to have anything work. So it's just like this society is so still into this thing of what can we do to not have this country be unified. You know, that's just ridiculous. So. But I think that as long as we still stay conscious of what we have to do to bring to these different things in our community, which is including, you know, violence, socialism, all the different things that we can say that we can make a difference in, and that's what the summit, I think, provides.
I see it. Yeah. That's good. That's great. You know, you really are presencing the anguish, the anger, the all of the fear that that still exists in this country, because we've never, you know, I'm going to assert that I don't know that we've ever fully healed this conversation, because we're still in it. And so the opportunity is for us to keep looking and keep noticing where we are and keep having the conversations to get cleared, you know, because it's about getting cleared. And it's about, you know, what does that look like and how does it look like and, you know, what will make the difference. And the other part about it is to keep us conscious. You know, Black Lives Matter is a movement that will last however long it lasts, but that's a phase, and hopefully we can have some sustainability around it and cause a shift. Because normally what happens is, you know, we wake up and that idea or thing or fad is gone, and then we're on to something else, and nothing significantly changes. So I think that we're clear that change has got to occur, and we can't look for anybody else to make that change for us. It really is about us making the change. As individuals, collectively, you know, what will occur. So, the last thing I want to say is, and I hadn't heard this before, but for those of you who are looking to go to Guyana, you can, you know, like you have like the holiday clubs, you can do like a travel club. So, you know, put away a little bit money every week to get yourself ready so that you can buy those tickets and have money to, you know, spending money. Because guess what? You're going to go down there. You're going to be in a different country. You're going to want to do some things. You want to try some recipes. You're going to want to bring some clothes back that you might be able to get there that you don't get anywhere else. And you know me, I'm going to be looking for some nice men's necklaces and stuff that is cultural and what have you. So all of that there. So be well. Thank you for this conversation. Continue to tune in and find out what we're up to. God bless you and good night.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Rod. Good night.
All right. Good night, John Boy. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Y'all, too funny. Good night.